different. And then our bar guys, you know, they're always looking for inspiration for cocktails and things like that. They made a, what was that one the other day? The Turkish Delight.
Oh, the Turkish Delight.
I only had a sip and I felt like getting on a table. So, yeah, no, and they're heading off to do a mixology tour soon.
Mixology?
Yeah, and I was like, if you guys want to start wearing berets, I'm fine with
that.
Go
for it. Yeah.
Good luck, boys.
Yeah. Hey friends, welcome back to the podcast. Thanks for joining us for another episode of Convos, the Lifestyle Barrington Coast podcast, where we just basically sit around and shoot the breeze and have really cool chats with some of the great people who live in our region and call the Mid-Coast home. And today, I'm kind of excited about this one because I'm a bit of a foodie. And we've got Jade and Katie from 33 Degrees joining us. Guys, welcome to the potty.
Hi, thank you for having us.
Good morning.
So for anybody who doesn't know, if they've been, I don't know, under a rock or maybe they've just recently arrived in the area, let's talk a little bit about 33 Degrees. So, Jade, let's start with you. Tell us a bit about the restaurant.
It's been quite an evolution, I think, since around 2019. Locals will know that it was previously Hamilton's Oyster Bar and then it transitioned into 33 Degrees in about 2019. I believe Katie was there then. That's why I'm looking at her.
2021.
It's gone through quite a makeover. It's a beautiful spot on the water, and it was predominantly there to showcase our local beautiful Sydney rock oysters, but we also do an array of other seafood. That's sort of the nutshell.
Yeah. So I can't believe it was 2021 when the change happened from Hamilton's to 33 Degrees. That seems like it's gone so fast. I mean, we're blow-ins. We've been in the area for about 5 years now, I guess. Wow, coming into 6 years. And I remember when it changed. So that seems to have gone really fast.
Really fast, but also really quick.
Yeah, people still say, is this the old Hamiltons? You know, it's still, that was, and I mean, look, we still see the Hamiltons around quite a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, even before that, it was the beautiful site down there, the deck, which is, oh gosh, how old. It used to be, what was it, a boat or?
Graham Barclay Marina.
So the site is quite special.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if you knew much about the history of the site, because it's like, seriously, for anybody who hasn't been there, it's genuinely one of the great locations on the lake, isn't it? It's right on the water. You look out over the oyster leases. The sunset there is just, it's spectacular. So do you know a little bit more about the history?
I think it was Graham Barclay's to start. When would that have been? Back in the 70s?
Yeah, wow.
I mean, Graham still comes in for dinner all the time.
Yeah.
Eats our oysters.
Why wouldn't you? We have like the best oysters in the world in Wallace Lake.
Don't tell him
that.
Yeah, but it is pretty magical, and, you know, not just that. It's the marine life that somehow is attracted there, minus the seagulls. You know, we have so many visitors come and they're just absolutely astounded by the amount of dolphins that we have right at the on the deck there that you can see while you're eating your meal, which is pretty special, and the obese pelicans.
They're just so iconic, aren't they, the pelicans? And you've got a couple of those sort of really tall poles. I don't know what they're called. There's probably a proper name
tall
for them.
Tall poles is fine.
Is that right, the tall poles? And sitting on the deck having a drink with a pelican perched on top of there, it looks like a postcard, but it's for real, isn't it? Like they just naturally appear there. That's not a wood-carved pelican. You see the little guy turn up, land on the pole, and you're sitting in paradise, hey?
We're pretty lucky.
Yeah.
We always whinge about where we work, but then, you know.
I know, we take it for granted a little bit, I think.
Yeah, right. I mean, we could be going to an office somewhere, couldn't we?
Oh, instead. I know. Couldn't go back to that life.
Yeah. So, Katie, you're looking after food and bev over there, is that right?
That's right, yep.
Tell us a little bit about the menu. What's exciting on the menu at 33 Degrees?
Oh, we're lucky. We have a great menu at the moment. We've got another one coming soon. Heaps of fresh flavour, delicious. I don't know if we want to dive into Yumba a little bit more, but we are owned by Yumba Aquaculture that have abalone farms, kingfish farms, right, and mussel farms. And we have all but the abalone on the menu.
Wow.
So we're pretty lucky.
And so is that almost a little bit like a farm-to-plate kind of supply chain?
Tied to table, thank you,
Simon. Tied to table, sorry, right. Get your terminology right, Simon.
They don't come out of paddocks.
So is that, I guess, part of the theory there is that, you know, things, if you're owned by Yumba, and I did notice that that's one of the hats that you wear, Jade, is a Yumba hat. Is that, I guess, part of the theory is that it's quicker and it's fresher and it's less environmental impact if things come, you know, if there's that shorter supply chain?
I think there's, you know, being bought by Yumba in October last year really diversified our seafood. And previous to that, we didn't really do mussels because they are quite difficult to get on the mid-north coast of New South Wales. Mm-hmm. And the ones that we did use, we were using them imported from New Zealand, which, you know, are beautiful mussels. But now that we have access to mussels from South Australia and Mornington Peninsula, we still have supply chain issues trying to keep them fresh and live and get them here on time. The kingfish, you know, having access to Spencer Gulf kingfish has been a game changer for us because it is such a beautiful fish and it is highly regarded by, you know, pretty much everyone. Mm-hmm. And being able to get that fresh now is just absolutely amazing. And they just are, you know, I spend a lot of time over in Port Lincoln and seeing the fish themselves and how they're farmed. They're just amazing creatures. The abalone, it's been interesting. I'd never eaten abalone until we got bought by Yumba, but Katie's had a bit of a play with it. I think it was pickled abalone on an oyster the other week, which she did. She's very creative like that.
Yeah.
And then, of course, our oysters. But the Pacific oysters haven't made their way, and that's because I won't let them.
Why would you when we've got such great ones that come
from
like right here in our backyard?
Right. And every time I go to South Australia and I try one, I can't. I've tried.
So tell me a little bit about, Jade, let's start with you, about your story. Everyone we talk to has got a bit of a story about how they ended up sort of here on the coast, on the mid coast. Are you local? Are you like me? Are you a bit of a blow-in? Like, what's your story?
Oh, I'm a complete blow-in. I was actually driving over the bridge the other day and I just thought, how on earth did I get here? So originally from Western Australia, I moved to Sydney and I lived there for 21 years. I met my now ex-husband and I lived in Brisbane, and then he had a property here about an hour out of town, and so I moved here after COVID just wanting that, just do nothing.
Yeah.
Found this great little job at a Sydney rock oyster farm, was kind of just chilling, and then everything just amplified, and we've since separated and I've stayed here, which is just the best lifestyle. I farmed, I'm just so lucky to be able to live and work here.
Mm.
And then the restaurant for me started about 4 years ago. Quite a background in hospitality, but kind of got thrown into it. And now I can't really think of doing anything particularly else. And Katie and I have formed a really good partnership and friendship over the last 4 years, and we work really well together. There's nothing like being told off by a 23-year-old constantly. She keeps me in check. So
we all need that sometimes.
I think living here is just a really nice balance.
Yeah. Is there anything that kind of surprised you when you got here about the area? You know, did you have kind of expectations when you moved here? And then, you know, what was it that were those expectations met, or did you sort of find something that was a real surprise?
I love the community here, and it's so interesting because it's got so many different levels to it.
Mm.
You know, we have a high rate of retirees that live here, and so, you know, when I do my Wednesday yoga at 8 o'clock, I'm the youngest person in there by 30 years, and it's great. You know, I just think anyone can come here and find their niche.
Yeah.
I got really into netball here, and I've got my horses, and you know what, you can lean into it and become really social and be a part of everything, or you can just live in a bubble and still enjoy the sunsets and sunrises. So, you know, you can do sort of anything you want to here.
Yeah, 100%. And I think we all have seasons too, don't we? You know, we'll have those times where we think, I just really crave a bit of my own company for a while and that solitude. And, you know, the walk along past Pebbly Beach and Fruin's Walk and up the hill, the sunsets are incredible. The sunrises, if you're a morning person, we talked about that off air, are pretty spectacular too. Or, like you said, you can just get involved in everything.
Everything.
Yeah, so it's all here.
Everything you want here. Yeah. Everything. And like we said earlier, the coffee culture is, you know, top notch.
Yeah, pretty fabulous.
Oh, love it.
This is a thread coming through the last couple of episodes of The Potty is the coffee. We're here in the fabulous podcast studio at Foster Library, and there's a really cool little coffee van out the front who's two for two now. My coffee last week was awesome and today's one's pretty good.
Where's a plug?
So, Katie, 23, as we've just found out, so that's been out there to the world now.
Yep, everyone knows.
Everybody knows now.
You're welcome.
what's the lifestyle like here for a 23-year-old? Because it's not the city. We don't have nightclubs. We don't have, you know, all of that going on. Are you a local or are you a blow-in, and how do you kind of find that?
No, I'm a local. Born and mostly bred, born in Tari. My dad's from England, mum's from here, but we've moved around and we always find our way back here. And I am so happy for that. I love this little part of the world. As for life as a 23-year-old here, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. Being in a bustling city or somewhere, I couldn't do it.
Yeah, we talked about that off air too, didn't we? Like, that's changing, because as somebody who's definitely not 23, and I vaguely remember being that young, it was all about nightlife. It was all about, you know, going out and clubbing and definitely not being up early in the morning. And that seems to be really changing. Mm. So, you know, as somebody who kind of, I guess, is in that younger age group, is that a conscious thing? Like, do you look at somebody my age and go, oh my God, I never want to sort of go out drinking like you used to, because it just doesn't vibe with me?
Oh, she still goes away on weekends. She just doesn't do it. Yeah, you know, I'm going to Newcastle as a festival on. It must be different for you. I remember, you know, doing some of my best work in the Cross at 24.
Right.
And I reckon if I took Katie there now, she'd be like, I'm going to go wait in the car. This is too much. But I think, you know, kids living on the mid-north coast, like I just said, like you go to Newcastle quite a bit. They go up to the Gold Coast for festivals. They kind of make a thing of it. It's not it's not like every weekend.
No, it's special when you go away.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's nicer for you. But I guess, you know, in the summer, spending days swimming.
And at the beach. Oh, and you get to get away from it. Like you go away and you do whatever you're doing. You go to your festival. But then you get to come home to that sort of calmer, more relaxed lifestyle. And all of the benefits of that.
Yeah. You just appreciate it so much more when you come home. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just puzzling to think, like, you know, we live in a place where people come to holiday. Like, how lucky is that? Well,
do you pinch yourself every day?
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
You mentioned it driving over the bridge, you know, you thought kind of, how did I get here? And
I just nearly got, I look a little bit teary then.
I finally made somebody cry on the podcast.
Rain it in, Jade.
No, don't. Let it out. It's so, yeah, I mentioned we moved here about 5 years ago, and I came up here, you know, sort of many, many years ago when the triathlon was up here. So I have a bit of a connection to the area, but still every time I walk or run over that bridge and you look down and the water's crystal clear and there's dolphins, which we just take for granted, don't we? Like they're off the coast, they're at the beach, they're in the lake, they're just everywhere. We just take that for granted. And then some days you kind of go, hang on a minute, like I live here.
I live
and people
here.
You know, they scrape their 2 weeks holiday a year together to be able to come and spend it here. And we just have this at our fingertips every day.
Yeah,
we're that, very lucky.
That is our lifestyle, everyone.
We're not here to rub it into you people.
Yeah, we don't want everyone moving up here, but yeah. I mean, look, to have a life that you don't have to escape from is, you know, is pretty special. And I know for me, just like my health, my mental health, just so many parts of my life changed when I move here. So, you know, if you can, and I know not everyone's in the right position, but, you know, having the restaurant there too, and, of course, I do have another job with Yumba. This is my creative outlet.
Mm-hmm.
And I never thought I'd be managing, how many staff have we got, under 25?
It's like 90% of our staff are 25.
I'm hoping it keeps me cool and young, but I'm not sure. I did start getting tattoos, so that's random.
That's a move in the right direction.
Yeah, over 40. Why don't we start getting tattoos?
Why not?
Yeah.
So HOSPO, it can be a tough industry. Hours can be long, and especially at the moment with cost of living increases very much topical and in the media. Hospitality, particularly a nice restaurant, it's often seen as a luxury. It's one of the first things that people take off their agenda. How are you guys finding the impact of that at the moment?
Surprisingly, Easter has been really good. Not the best, but it's been good. And I think we put that down to the fact that before all of this nightmare commenced, many people had already booked their holidays. I think we're probably more concerned toward the end of the year, you know, when Christmas is coming and how that looks. And this is different to COVID. This is impacting everyone everywhere at the same time. And, you know, with COVID it was more around stay inside and, you know, the restaurant was shut down. And so but we're kind of like, well, what do we do? You know, and I think we're just going to have to take it kind of month by month and suss out what consumers are doing and then start plan A, B or C. And it's not, you know, even if we were to turn the lights off and walk away, there's still costs, there's still staff. So, you know, my number one priority is to look at how we can do that. We've got a lot of weddings coming up.
Yeah, that's great.
Which would have been, once again, booked before all this happened.
Yeah.
So they're really good. We love weddings. And, I think we're just going to take it step by step because it's just this complete unknown.
Yeah, definitely. And it's still really important, I think, for people to go out and do things, isn't it? You know, at times like this when life can be a little bit tricky, we've got to treat ourselves sometimes.
Just have a sneaky dozen oysters.
Just have a sneaky dozen oysters. Yeah.
And glass of wine and oysters on the deck.
On the deck.
Treat yourself.
Yeah. So, okay. So, Katie, question without notice for you. If somebody's thinking, oh, we just do need like a little sneaky, maybe not like a full meal, but we just do need a little sneaky afternoon on the deck in the sunshine, what's a really good option? Tell us what's on the menu, and not just on the menu but at the cocktail bar, which is fabulous, by the way. What's your suggestion for a couple to come over and just, you know, have a couple of hours?
We've got happy hour from 4:30 to 6, so it's a good time to take advantage of that. Grab a cheap wine, cheap beer.
Not cheap as in quality.
Price. Grab some oysters, sit on the deck, watch that sunset. I mean, it can't get much better.
It doesn't get much better than that.
No way.
Kingfish ceviche.
Yes.
A little relax. And look, we do have a lot of people come in there into the restaurant and just want to chill. You know, they're not here for a whole meal. And the cocktails, I don't have anything to do with cocktails. I can't make a cocktail. But I think Katie makes one of the best margaritas I've ever had.
And
I've drunk a lot of margaritas in my time. the cocktails and, you know, we've got Coastal Brewing beers on tap.
Oh, I love that.
So our local beer, which is actually quite popular. I think when people come away they want to try local beers. So
popular. They compare the two. They grab one of each and compare the two, and then they know what to come back for next time.
And I think that's a really good point. And I love the fact that you've got, you know, local produce, but you've also got local beers on tap, because for those of us that live here, we're a little bit parochial and we definitely want to support our local producers. But you've hit on something really important there. When people travel, if they're leaving wherever it is they live, whether it's the city or wherever it might be, and they come to somewhere like Foster Tuncurry or the Mid-Coast, they want to sample what's here. They don't want to come here and eat the things they usually eat and drink the things they usually drink. So I know we've touched on it a little bit, but what else can they expect when they come and visit you guys in terms of local produce or local food and bev?
Well, we've got a strategy. Well, we had a strategy, but we're still pushing towards it this year. Being a major aquaculture company, we really want to shift our menu to having close to all Australian seafood products. And, you know, we have a lot of people who say, why don't you get the fisherman here to give you the flathead? And I say, can they give me 40 kilos a day?
Yeah.
You know, because in our busy times we do use a lot. And so we're doing a lot of work around that, around having – and look, there are just some products that we just can't get in Australia that which the consumers have a high demand for. Mm-hmm. One of them, you know, for example, is like scallops.
Yep.
Very difficult to get Australian scallops at size and volume. So we're definitely wanting to work closer. We predominantly get all our seafood now from Monin, who's a local seafood wholesaler. And we've been working with Matt previously and now Tyson and the guys there, and they're really good. And just, you know, starting to play around with what other fish that we can use that are local up the north coast here or even from sort of cooler waters down in Victoria. So that's something that we're really trying to do as well. And Hunter Valley Wines, I know they're not necessarily here, but, you know, they're neighbours.
They're pretty close.
Yeah. So looking at, you know, building our New South Wales wine portfolio a little bit more, because it's interesting. If you go to Adelaide, you go to, I don't know, like even a pub on the corner, they will predominantly have South Australian wines.
Yeah.
You know, and that is the goal. And be like, oh, gosh, I can't even get that, you know, at the bottle shops. Mm. Where I noticed in New South Wales we don't do that. So I definitely want to start curating our wine list to be a little bit more New South Wales centric. Yeah. And we can't forget we've still got the South Coast of New South Wales as well. But, look, anything that goes with an oyster will be on the menu.
Yeah, fantastic. So have you – Katie, let's talk to you for a sec as a local – obviously, you're busy at 33 degrees and you spend a lot of time there. But where else? What are some of the other little hidden gems for those of us foodies that you know about in the area?
Oh, my God, that's a
I know. Hard question. I know it's like asking you your favourite child, but what are some of the other places that visitors should think about if they're coming for a foodie experience?
I'm going to have to think about this one for a second. We are pretty lucky. Like everywhere in town, you're going to find somewhere good to eat. Pizzella's is probably one of the top on my list.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A little Italian restaurant. Also looking over Wallace Lake, it's just authentic pizza, pasta.
Oven, what are they called?
Stone baked
oven pizza. Right? Yeah, whatever.
Like you said before, coffee is great. Tarte, also Wingman do great coffee, great food.
Wingman's a cool little one, isn't it? Yeah. I think it's kind of tucked away there opposite not Main Beach and not many people know about it. It just looks like part of the apartments there.
It kind of just blends in, yeah.
Yeah.
What's that little one behind Woolworths and Tungurri?
Oh, House of Highness.
Oh, so good.
Oh, how
good
is that one?
Toasties as well.
Yeah, House of Highness.
Oh, really? There's a hot tip.
Yeah. Good toasties. 1959.
Oh, I want to say 1939. I think that was a movie. Yeah, they do great coffee as well. Oh, and
drum roll.
Yes.
Drum
roll. Oh.
I wish this was video. You guys, that was just brilliant. We had the little drum roll symbol from Jade and Katie's roll. Like, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, drum roll coffee.
We're kind of spoiled, aren't we?
Oh.
For choice.
Honestly, it's better than living in Alexandria in Sydney. And they're not just places that make coffee. They're coffee roasters.
Yeah, that's right.
Like Drumroll make their own beans. Like it's just...
Yeah, a little street roasters roast here as well.
Yes, exactly. They do.
Yeah,
it's magical. So we're very lucky. Where else do we go? Oh, what's the Swoop down at 1 Mile?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, Swoop down at 1 Mile.
Yeah, the list goes on.
It does go on. I know. It's hard to pick a favourite, isn't it?
It is.
And we shouldn't do that to you.
Even as far as Bluey's, like Bluey's Beach have got some great cafes as well. So, yeah, no, we're very spoilt.
Yeah. So you mentioned that you had some weddings booked in, which is really cool. So not just a restaurant. It's not just that we can turn up there and, you know, book a table and have a nice romantic evening. You do functions as well.
We do. We've had Jake Davey do a full music set, weddings. What else have we had?
From baby showers to weddings to wakes.
We do a lot of wakes.
Okay. That's interesting. Celebration of life.
Birthdays,
retirements.
What's something weird we've done?
Yeah, let's have something.
I feel like we've done some weird stuff. Weird stuff.
Yeah, we had a chamber function there.
We did, yeah, that was pretty.
Which was terrific.
It's pretty weird.
Jade, you emceed that. That was pretty cool.
I did, yeah, it was pretty funny. I think I called the head of the council Sugar Daddy. Yeah, I did.
Oh, you might have done.
Yeah,
he would have loved that.
Yeah, I don't know if he did, but anyway, it's out there now. but yeah, the venue, like, We've done micro weddings for 40 people, and we've done, you know, stand-up weddings for 120 people. And it is such a nice venue, rain, hail or shine, really. We've had a wedding literally in a storm that was horrific.
Oh, yeah.
They were good sports though. So, yeah, there's nothing we can't do there. We had an Audrey Wilkinson wine night.
Had a Disney party.
We had a Disney party.
Yes.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. But, yeah, the Audrey Wilkinson wine night, they did tell me I was pouring the glasses too much. I was like, ugh, YOLO. Everyone was ripe by the end of it, and it was all local people too, so it was quite funny. But, yeah, like the venue is able to do anything, and it's, you know, and I hope it becomes a bit more of the venue of choice for parties and things like that, because they're quite fun for us as well. But, yeah, just the location.
The location, and you've got the flexibility of that outdoor space as well. If people want to go and sit outside at one of the tables out there and have a bit of a chat, they can, separate from what's going on inside.
Come in on your boat or your jet ski. There's boat parking.
Really? Yeah. So I can pull my yacht up out the front.
You can, yeah, yeah. Might not be deep enough, your big yacht. But
no, my yacht's remote control.
But, yeah, we get a lot of people coming up on boats now, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, fantastic. So we've talked a little bit about the menu. Is there a signature dish that you have? Is there something that when people come and visit you and they're like, I don't know, what's good on the menu, that is your absolute go-to for people?
The hot and cold seafood platter.
Hot and cold seafood platter. Barramundi.
The barramundi.
Yeah, and in winter it'll be our chowder. Our seafood chowder, which people are still demanding in summer. I'm like, lady, it's too hot. You're going to have to wait. I think the kingfish is slowly becoming a really...
one of the most popular dishes.
Yeah. Absolutely. And it can be quite difficult to cook because it can dry out really quickly. It's a very dry fish, whereas the barramundi, I think we could cook that for weeks and it would still be moist. But, yeah, I think that the chefs there have really nailed it with the recipes. The cooking.
Yeah. As we kind of get towards the close, what's new, what's on the horizon, or what's coming up that you think's really exciting for you guys? We've talked a bit about Yumba and we've talked a bit about some of the new menu items that you're going to have, but what can we expect to see in the next sort of 6 to 12 months?
Well, I think some really cool things up and coming, like for us personally with the restaurant, not just our personal lives. That's another podcast. But I think it's really important for Katie and I to, you know, get creative sort of ideas from travelling and seeing things, you know, tasting other dishes. Mm. So we are actually attending the Naruma Oyster Festival in the first weekend of May. We're actually working there for Yumba. And it's going to be really exciting because we're showcasing a lot of the Yumba products. We've got Taking Down City Rock Oysters and, you know, it's just going to be nice talking. And I think we can operate in our little silo, but it is important for us to get out there and see what's happening, look in ingredients and recipes. I'm really keen to take Katie over to Adelaide, to the Adelaide food markets, and out to some of our farms, because I think that the story and understanding of how we get things, how things are farmed, that the sustainable sort of practices we do is really important for our staff.
Mm.
And I try and teach them as much as I can about, you know, especially around the oysters, because there's a lot of facts around oysters that I think people don't really understand. And I think there's an appreciation that comes from that as well. Mm. For something that takes you 3 seconds to eat, it takes 3 years to grow. So, you know, things like that. But, yeah, so we're heading off to Naruma, which is pretty exciting. I think it's going to be a big day. But I think that's probably what we've got coming up.
It's going to be exciting. Like what Simon said before, living in your little bubble in Foster Tuncurry, we don't have as much competition and other places to look for inspiration, but going away, seeing all these new places, it's really going to help us evolve. Yeah. And
we try a lot of recipes off TikTok.
Yeah.
What a great source of inspo.
Whether they work out well or not.
All we do is send each other through TikToks. And especially even the Hunter Valley, and like I say, if they've got visitors coming here to head out to the Hunter Valley, one of our favourite is Muse. Mm. We went there and had dinner together. It was very romantic. But, you know, just eating other food and going, oh my gosh, we should try this with the tuna, or maybe we can do this with the ceviche, and, you know, and then bringing that back to our locals as well, because, you know, we can talk about how great it is during Christmas and Easter, but in between those periods, we have some amazing customers. Like we have one set of customers. They come in every Friday. They just have a standing. Yeah. We have the Sunday ladies. Now, if they're listening, I don't know if they are, but we love you. They come in every Sunday. They sit at the same table. They have a couple of glasses of bubbly, bowl of chips.
Yep.
Every Christmas they get us gifts.
We just never have to take their order. We always know.
And you know what? Yeah. I don't know any of their names.
This is the Sunday ladies.
Yeah. But we just have some amazing locals, and we are so thankful that they just keep coming back. And, you know, and that's why it's really hard. You got to keep changing the menu in a small town, right? Because I'll be like, oh, come on, Jade, we're sick of this. And you're like, all right, Beryl, all right. you know, we've got to keep changing things up because things like the Audrey Wilkinson wine night and doing things like Jake Davey coming to play and things that people can come and attend to, because it can get quiet here in the winter, sort of early summer when it's a bit cool. So really important that we kind of put those things on. But, our customers, our locals are just, you know, they're so special to us and they're always around.
So you've talked about TikTok as a source of inspo, and you're going away and you're going to, I guess, expos and trade shows to get a bit of inspiration. When you do, what's the process for putting a new menu item together? And have there been any epic fails that you want to tell us about? Not that made it onto the menu, but like that made in the tasting process.
How long have you got? No, it's not that bad.
It's mainly me. I'm trying to think.
The tuna cannoli.
Yeah, that didn't work.
That didn't work.
Wow. Looks good. That even sounds interesting.
Yeah.
It was like a tuna dessert. It was very odd.
The idea was there. We just didn't do it very well.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Look, it's difficult because Katie and I was trying to do things that no one could do on scale. Like, yeah, we'll get this to in 2 hours. We just got to, you know, create the puff pastry. But, I think it's more around sort of not just, I mean, we usually leave the cooking and the actual, creation of the menu to the chef. Mm-hmm. But we come in with design ideas, plating ideas, looking at flavours, you know, and we do that a lot with our oysters, in and around what complements an oyster rather than just soaks it in something, which is a really fine balance. I think that's sort of what we bring and want to do something a little bit different, and then our bar guys, you know, they're always looking for inspiration for cocktails and things like that. They made what was that one the other day? The Turkish Delight.
Oh, the Turkish Delight.
I only had a sip and I felt like getting on a table. and they're heading off to do a mixology tour soon.
Mixology?
Yeah, and I was like, if you guys want to start wearing berets, I'm fine with
that.
Go
for it. Yeah.
good luck, boys.
Hey, Jade, you touched on something earlier. You touched on sustainability, which is obviously really important. Is that something that you're finding is more of a focus for customers when they come in? Do they kind of want to know where the produce comes from, and are they really focused on that?
Yeah, they are. Some aren't, but some are. Sure.
Some ask questions that we can't answer. Yeah. When it comes to those things.
They do. And, you know, my personal opinion is, you know, everything that we do, Yumba does, is farmed.
Mm-hmm.
But I can honestly say that travelling around Australia, the husbandry of healthcare around fish, abalone, you know, it's no surprise that we were quite badly impacted by the algae bloom in South Australia, which no one could plan for.
Yeah.
But the kingfish themselves, you know, like I've sat in so many meetings with all of these vets and scientists talking about, you know, how we can get the best fish, how we can keep them healthy, their diets, you know, like they're literally eating better than any human, I'm sure of it. And so I think you have to explain sustainability as making sure that we replace what we take, and that is definitely what this does.
Yeah.
It is not mass fishing. We're not going out into the ocean and trawling. We're actually farming. And oysters is, you know, a bit the same. And definitely abalone is farmed in tanks. Yeah. But once again, they've got shade. And so, you know, I think it's the best. It is one of the best ways that we can – and we can control supply.
Mm.
You know, we're not throwing anything away. Yeah. We are making sure – and, you know, even oysters, some of the shells, we've worked on reef restoration projects for seagrass. And so there is a lot that we do, not just for ourselves, but for, you know, the seafood industry.
Yeah.
And they are taking quite a big hit at the moment with the algae bloom in South Australia. And it's really sad to see. Yeah. But, you know, luckily for us, kingfish won't be impacted.
Mm.
Abalone was impacted quite a lot. But that's what, you know, sustainable farming can protect.
Yeah, that's right. And oyster farming particularly is actually really good for the environment.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, we've seen increases in water quality in areas where oyster farming is carried out. And they even use oyster farms in some overseas countries to improve the quality of the water to the point where people can drink it.
Yeah, they're amazing filters.
Yeah.
And what they can do to the water quality and also the improvement in seagrass, which is so important for marine life.
Yeah.
It's absolutely amazing. And the more oysters we can have, you know, I'm not going to say that it's the oysters that make the water so clear here at Wallace Lake, but, you know, I'm not a scientist.
Just it could it be. Out
there. But, yeah, they definitely are, and that's proven scientific fact. So, like those reef restoration projects that we've done, we've actually used the shells because the shells are really good filtration too. And we have a lot of, you know, E33 oysters down the road at Point Road there, they have a lot of scientists come and visit, uni students, PhD students. So I think that, you know, that's going to keep getting bigger and bigger.
Mm. Yeah, great. It's such an important topic. All right, guys, so in wrapping up, for anybody who's listening, who's thinking of coming to the Mid-Coast for a bit of a visit, apart from 33 degrees, obviously, just across the bridge from Foster into Tuncurry, chuck a left, you'll find 33 degrees. Apart from that, what's your one must-see place for anybody who's coming to visit? Under pressure, I know.
For me, it's Salido's, but the locals are going to be like, I can't believe you just said that. Salido's Beach down at Sandbar, it is absolutely amazing. And I don't know if it's actual – I haven't confirmed it, but I think it's where Daryl Braithwaite did his horses video clip.
It is.
For those who know who he is.
Yeah.
Well, probably not first, but –
It would have been the 80s or the 90s. I'm not sure anyway.
Oh, I'm not going to claim to remember. I do, but I'm not.
Yeah, okay. Katie, what's your favourite?
Just a walk across the bridge.
Yeah, swimming.
Swimming at the lake.
Yeah.
I find it so much better than the beach.
Mm.
You can just relax.
Yeah, chill out and not be crushed.
But everyone just drives across the bridge and there's your traffic.
Yeah.
But, walk across.
Walk across the bridge.
Yeah.
Yep, go for a little swim in the lake.
Grab a coffee.
Yeah. Beautiful. Guys, I know it's school holidays and you really need to get going. So I just wanted to say thank you very much for spending a little bit of time with me today. It's been a pleasure having you on Convos.
Thank you very much, Simon.
It's been good.
Everybody, Jade and Katie from 33 Degrees, thanks for joining us on this episode of Convos. We'll make sure that the links to all of the 33 Degrees properties are in the show notes, and we'll see all of you guys again on the next episode.